o'clock.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it is 3 o'clock and we are live here on the road. A little Thirsty Thursday here at Buffalo Wild Wings. And in this hour, we're going to start hooking folks up with some of our prizes. All you got to do is sign your name, put it in our raffle box. We're going to hook somebody up with a couple of $25 Visa gift cards that I have right in my hand. We got two $25 Visa gift cards. You better get in here if you are not here yet to sign your name and put your name in the raffle, your chance to win. Coming up a little bit later in the 4 o'clock hour, we got a pair of two different sets of tickets to see U of H. One, they will take on Utah, and the other one, they will take on K-State. You got a chance to win those tickets. And then the big one in the 5 o'clock hour, Clint, Colts Texans tickets. All this courtesy of Bud Light. Colts Texans tickets, your chance to win there. And also a little drinking game from Bud Light that you'll have a chance to win throughout. But that will start coming up in this hour, your chance to win several items here as The Drive is live. We are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, Thirsty Thursday, Willowbrook Plaza, right off Tomball Parkway near Willowbrook Mall. So come hang out with us here. All right, Clint, I feel like we're going to be on the same page here. Jamal Adams, he was a safety with the Titans. They've granted his release. He was requesting to be released. You remember him. He had great years with the Jets. Was an all-pro with the Jets, so great that he was traded for two first-round picks, a safety. How crazy that sounds now.
But he forced his way out of New York, didn't he?
He did.
He got traded to Seattle.
And has been on the move a little bit, not played a lot lately due to injuries. But Clint, he is now available on the streets. There are some who believe that the Texans have an issue in the secondary. Maybe he could be a help in the secondary. When you saw Jamal Adams released, was there any interest in your mind from a Texans perspective? Hey, won't you go kick the tires around there and see what's up with Jamal Adams?
Not one bit. Not one bit. My man strikes me as the ego significantly bigger than the talent is, the impact to a team is. Not to mention, I don't think he's a scheme fit at all for what they – unless he's going to play linebacker. If he wants to come in and play linebacker, that'd be nice. That may work out with D'Amico's system. But, there's nothing about Jamal Adams that even remotely piques my interest for him joining the Texans. Not one bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. Even if he was in his prime, to me, like, even if there was no thought of, will he fit in? Will he roll in? As you said, his skill set, even at his best, like his skill set, it's Jalen Petrie, right? Like that's and probably Jalen's a better cover guy than he is. Now, I remember when he was at his height, like he had this unusual talent to rush the quarterback from a safety perspective. And so you could potentially see that in his prime, but still, Clint, I just don't get the sense at all that's what it is. They don't need another inbox guy that his deficiency or his struggle is coverage. That's not what the Texans seem to need, in my opinion. So I don't know who's going to pick him up. I honest to God, I don't know.
I don't know if he gets picked up.
I don't know who wants that.
It's been a minute since he's played consistently.
No, yeah, it's been about the last 2 years.
Did it even happen in Seattle?
Not a lot.
He was injured, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's injured a lot, especially the last couple of years. So, yeah, the Texans, they shouldn't waste a second kicking any kind of tire with Jamal Adams. But, Clint, I think off of that, there is kind of a bigger discussion, a bigger question. We saw the Jets make a big move ahead of the deadline, which is, I believe, November 5th. They make a big move to get Devontae Adams. We saw the Buffalo Bills make a big move to go get Amari Cooper. We're hearing a lot of other things. We hear the Lions, who are trying to make a move to go get a pass rusher with the loss of their top player on defense. We're starting to see some moves, and there will be moves made. I think we're seeing moves in the NFL the last several years before the trade deadline happened more. We're seeing that more than when you played or even 10 years ago. With the Texans, is there a sense for you that they are in need to make a move, that they have some position groups that they need to add to make you feel better about this team?
Yeah, I think there's two for me, and it's I think a swing tackle. I think a backup tackle. I think it's blatantly obvious right now. I love the Fisher kid that they drafted. I think he's got a future. But right now, if one of your starting tackles went down,
you didn't feel comfortable with him.
No, no, not making a run at the Super Bowl. Running against some of the best defenses in the game and doing it for a stretch of 10, 11, 12, 13 games. No, I think the best move for the Texans, and I think you could do it rather cheaply. We're not talking about a starting caliber tackle. We're talking about a good swing tackle. What was my man's name last year that was here?
George Fant.
George Fant would be. I mean, obviously, I think he's starting or was. I don't know if he's. I don't know what's going on with him, but you know, get a tackle that could be an emergency guy like George Fant was last year. Something like that. I think there's a real need for that guy. If you're talking about really loading up to make a run at a Super Bowl, there's a couple of spots where you're an injury away from being in trouble. I think the tackle spot's one of them. You need some insurance there, and then I think a cover defender. I think a corner.
Really?
They are not. They are not equal, bro. We got Eric Murray and we got Eric Murray covering guys.
Do you
think about that? We've got Eric Murray's ending up on Justin Jefferson against the Minnesota Vikings. Like that stuff just can't happen. And I think it's because I think D'Amico's somewhat handcuffed. I don't think he has a choice. Like there's not a
pattern. I don't
think he has a sub package that he trusts more than that, which is scary. But he didn't have a sub package where you got three corners in the game.
You don't think, and maybe this is the point maybe you're getting to in terms of, I don't know if D'Amico feels this way. Like, it sounds like slot is where you really feel like they need another corner, because I think you feel good about Lassiter when he gets healthy and Stingley, right? You feel good about.
Well, I think you can be flexible with it. I think it's I just need another corner in obvious passing situations versus teams that are going to roll three wide receivers and a pass catching tight end out there at you. You're in trouble right now.
Do you think Dez King can fill that role? Because they do have him in house. I don't know if they want him to.
But I think he can fill the role, but you're still not. I mean, there's still ducks. You still like a, you need a you to me. You need another legit corner that is a corner first, not a slot corner. Because then you got flexibility of okay, now is if the guy that you go get is a better outside corner, more proven outside corner, maybe that's just where he's more comfortable, then you can do some different things with Kamari Lassiter in terms of your coverage downs, right? So I just think they're a coverage defender short. I mean, you roll out there right now, 11 personnel, which is three wide receivers and a tight end, a pass-catching tight end.
With what they put out there right now, it's like Petrie or Murray is going to be a cover.
Your second best cover guy is D'Angelo Ross.
Right now with the Lassiter injury, yeah.
Your second best cover guy is D'Angelo Ross. I mean, put that in your pipe and smoke it one time. That is a scary – like this week. You're going to have problems this week. And from a coverage – if you're and the biggest part –
And you're saying this even with the Lassiter injury being short-term, being
– Yeah. Yeah, no. I think even with Lassiter in the game, you're still depending on D'Angelo Ross or Jalen Petrie or Eric Murray, and the D'Angelo Ross thing. I wouldn't necessarily hate it, other than the fact that I've watched D'Amico Ryans choose to not use it. So it tells me there's something there. So yeah, I think a swing tackle and a third corner. A third cover defender, excluding nickel defenders. I'm just talking about a third true corner. And maybe that's Jeff Okuda coming back off injured reserve. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. But I think those are the two spots to watch at the trade deadline.
Yeah, where do you think, if you think any? I don't think if you think any pressing need, something you feel like the Texans needs to go after. I don't think they have a pressing need with the if everyone's healthy. Like even with the swing tackle, I can see a thought of, all right, Blake Fisher continues to get better and better, and he's a guy that if he needs to come in, 10 weeks into the season or something, if he has to do it.
But here's the deal, Ron. Could you imagine, like, this again, what we have coming down the pike here on this schedule, and obviously Aiden Hutchinson is hurt, but I'm going to use that name. Could you imagine him being one of your tackles, what it does to your offense with Michael Parsons, with Aiden Hutchinson, with golly, somebody was just on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, but I just wonder how many swing tackles that are out that you would bring in that you would feel better, make you feel a lot better.
Would you feel better about George Fant?
Yeah, but George Fant's starting somewhere.
Well, but he was last year's a swing tackle. That's my deal. From a talent.
Has he played coming into the year? I sure as hell wouldn't have.
Right. Yeah, it's just the youth part of that scares me, man. I think there's times when he gets overwhelmed. I think it's going to get even worse if he has to play and he's bumped up against, again, the Michael Parsons of the world. It's going to get – them boys with the Jets are going to be rough. It's going to be it could be tough, man.
From the text line coming in, Texans need another running back.
What?
I don't know about
– Well, they just traded one.
Just traded one. Yeah, they need another running back. To me, Clint, the place where it is – and like I said, I don't even know that it's glaring. But to me, and I think you're also making the thought of, let's make a run. Like, let's shore up these and make a run. It is still, for me, if you can find somebody in the interior. Closer to a difference maker, if you can find something there, like if you're looking, like someone texted in just now said, how about going all in and going after Max Crosby? That's not what you already have. Autry, you already have Will Anderson Jr., you already have Danielle Hunter. That's redundant. Now you don't, you know, not to mention Barnett, but you already have, even though he's a great player, I think that's where if you're going to go do it, to me, it's the inside.
The only thing that scared me away from that, because I agree with you, it'd be nice, but if you look at all the analysts out there now and they're throwing out the top 10 players that are available, there's no interior defensive lineman. There's none on the list. So, I mean, if one were available, I'd be – hell yeah, I'd put that on my list too. But
yeah,
I just don't know that – and look, that's all speculation. You never know who's going to be available, obviously, but
especially come that time. Yeah.
But, if there's one of those available, you can put that on – I'll put that on my short list too now.
Yeah, if that to me is the only thing where I'm like, man, that is something that they got to – that clearly can go to – because to me, when Lassiter comes back, like – yeah, I mean, you feel comfortable with those two guys on the outside, and like for me, like Dez King is in house. Like if you're looking for a guy that can cover in the slot, he's in house. Now I don't know if they want to use him or not. He's in house. I know you're thinking maybe somebody like a Shaq Griffin when they had him as a third corner last year would make sense. But receiver to me, I think they're fine. I think tight end they're fine. I think they're fine in most places. Nothing pressing. Like I think. Certain teams around the league and contenders need to – like Buffalo had to make a move, right? I think Kansas City – I think they have to make a move at receiver. I don't know that the Texans – they don't give me the feel that they are in any position that is a – boy, man, this is going to stop us.
I agree with that. Like my thoughts are more along the lines of insurance guys and their depth guys, where I think they're obvious. There's real potential there to find that guy, and you're not going to have to pay him a boatload to get him. You know, once he gets here. So I think I tried to go with some more reasonable options there than a front line guy. But yeah, I don't think the Texans have any glaring. When everybody's healthy, I don't think they have any glaring holes.
Yeah, I think and. There is nobody that's like a long term thing, right? Like that's going, well, hell, I don't know what Christian. That's the other one. Now, the linebacker thing. If Christian Harris, you know, is never slated to come back, then that could get iffy right there. When you're just sitting there with, you know, Henry has improved now. Hell, this week coming up, Henry's in concussion protocol. Hell, it may be.
Hell, that none of Aziz didn't practice either.
No, he didn't.
Aziz got a knee. Henry's got a concussion. You know, Christian Harris ain't been seen in 2 months.
You might be sitting there with Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen.
So the
linebacker. Somebody just text that in. That's a good thought. The linebacker situation could be one to look at. All right, coming up, the Texans were able to do well hell, not just do well, put up the most points they put up all season last week without Nico Collins. Is this the week? Is this the week potentially that they miss Nico Collins? We'll discuss that next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as we are live here, coming up after this segment, we are going to hook somebody up with a $25 Visa gift card. We're going to pull from our raffle and pull a name out and get a winner as soon as this segment ends. So if you have not put your name in that raffle yet, you might want to do so. And if you're on your way, you might want to get here and get your name in the raffle. The Bud Light people, the Bud Light ladies have entered the building. And I see them taking pictures with folks and hooking folks up with some things. So
yeah, girl.
So, yeah, they're out there. So come on out, have fun as we do it. We always do it nice here on a Thirsty Thursday. Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, near Willowbrook Mall. That's where we are today until 6 o'clock. All right, Clint. Last week they put up 41 points. That was the best offensive performance, especially when it comes to points, that they had all season, and they did it without their number one target, their number one weapon early on in the season, Nico Collins. They certainly did not miss Nico Collins against the New England Patriots. And as you kind of outlined earlier, the Patriots team, this isn't like the Bengals defense that's just completely dreadful. They've played pretty well at times this year, Clint. Is this a week, though, against the Packers, against that defense, a defense that turns the ball over a lot, a defense that's done pretty well against receivers? A.J. Brown in week one is the only one who has gotten over 100 yards on this group, and then Justin Jefferson had 85 yards, is next behind that. So they have done pretty well in the passing game at times against top receivers. Do you feel like this is a week that's different than last week in which the Texans may feel the loss of Nico Collins a lot more?
Well, I think there's a chance they feel it, but I don't think it's because of Green Bay's defense. I think it's more about Green Bay's offense, and yep. I think they're going to move the football well. I think we talked about it yesterday. This is one of those games where, like, your superstars, difference makers, have to be difference makers, have to play their best game in order to win. Now, anything can happen. Like you said, you can get turnovers, you can have a huge point swing, and then the dynamic of the game changes. But going into the game, this is a game where you feel like you got to get the best C.J. Stroud we've seen all year long to win this game. And I don't think it's because of, again, Green Bay's defense, but I think their offense is going to be efficient. Their offense is going to score points. Their offense is going to be – their team is going to be able to put the Texans in a situation of, boy, here's an opportunity. You're only going to get a few of them. You better take advantage of it. And if you don't, yep, then you're going to have a hard time beating this Green Bay team at Lambeau Field. And so I think those being the set of circumstances, clearly Nico Collins is a big-time game changer that would change this game. And I do think you miss him. I think Steph Diggs is a really good player. I do think his better years are behind him. I don't think he's a guy that can do what Nico can do. Hell, I'll be honest with you, I don't think he's a guy that can do what Tank can do in a standpoint of you know, being super dynamic. I think he's going to have his catches. He's going to get open. He's going to be a dependable guy. But when it comes to game-changing types of guys, I think this is one of those games where you're going to need them, and with Nico being out, you're damn sure going to miss it.
Yeah, they've got some guys in that secondary. Alexander, pretty good corner.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier McKinney, they got from in that secondary as well. They got from the Giants. One of their big offseason moves in the secondary. So they've got some guys, which you could see. They've been able to do some damage outside of really A.J. Brown really hurting them. And they can do some things. But I'm with you on that, Clint. I think it's more of this is going to be – but this feels like a game that's played in the upper 20s, lower 30s to me. This feels like it can be a high-scoring game. Weather's not going to be a problem in Lambeau. It's supposed to be in the 70s there. This feels like a game in which
I agree.
Offense is more closer to like the Colts game was that 29-27. Feels like it's going to be up in that route. And we knew in that game there were just some moments where Nico just had to go make a play. Right, and yeah. Not to say, and I agree with you, not to say that Tank and Joe Mixon and Diggs aren't able to go make plays, but it's just it's he has a higher probability to be able to do it.
Well,
right?
let's just call a spade, man. We've seen two guys on this football team from a skill position standpoint on offense. There's two guys on this football team that the key is just get the ball in their hands, and then they can make people miss. They can break tackles.
Yep.
They can hit a seam. One of them's injured in Nico Collins. The other one just got back in Joe Mixon. I like Tank. I think Tank is explosive. Have we seen him hit a seam? Have we seen him catch a ball on the move and really hit a seam?
We haven't seen the Tank that showed stuff.
No,
last.
We hadn't
not
seen
yet.
That. And look, I'm not saying that he can't. He's not capable. It's just the circumstances the situations that have presented themselves. We haven't seen it. Steph Diggs again, reliable. He's going to be there. He understands the zones. He can get open and create separation immediately. But he doesn't. I don't watch him play and go, hey, man, that dude can hit a crease and take it the distance at any given time. Like, the guys that strike fear, I think, like play in, play out, are Nico Collins, and I do think Joe Mixon has that ability. Dalton Schultz hadn't shown that ability. Obviously, Cade Stover and Tegan Quatoriano don't. You look the depth at wide receiver, don't. I do believe Tank can do it, but hasn't done it this year. And I think Steph Diggs, I don't know if that's really ever been his game, to be honest with you.
He's really good in the offense, in the flow of the offense.
Yeah, in the flow, in scheme, underneath. And when I say underneath safeties, like I don't know that he's ever going to be a guy again that is just going to just hit seams and just hit his head on a goalpost. Like, so, you know, This is damn sure a game where you need Tank Dell to step up and show that ability again. Because I think he's the one that has the ability, but we just hadn't seen it.
That's where it is, because I think it was also very it was clear to me in that game that his success that he had been having on all script stuff without Nico wasn't as prevalent.
Yeah. Like
he threw more away. I think one of them was him getting out and resulted in the interception to Dalton Schultz. And it seemed like it wasn't that big play, because a lot of big plays have come from him and Nico together off script. Him getting out of traffic, getting out of the pocket and hitting him on the run or throwing back. He did it a couple of times, but it didn't seem like he had that high level of success. The person that it was last year with was Tank. And maybe it is Tank who we've seen get behind the defense last year. Jacksonville comes to mind in week 3 last year, where he got behind the defense a couple of times and scored. It does feel like him. It feels like Diggs is going to kill you with 7-8 receptions for 90 yards, for 80 yards in the flow of the offense. The big play stuff, which I do think they're going to have to – they're going to potentially need in this game.
Well,
because the Packers are going to do it.
It's safe to say that they're going to need it within this 4-game stretch, including last week where Nico's out at least 4.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to need it at some point, and I would say it starts this week in Green Bay.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, they said, like, Green Bay leads the league in what they call big plays, 54 explosives. And the Texans are going to have to match that. So – we'll see. We'll see how the Packers score, but there could be a feel of missing Nico Collins. There wasn't a lot during that game against the Patriots where you're like, damn, man, we ain't got Nico Collins out here. You got, like, they were able to make enough plays.
Yeah, let's be honest. Going into the Patriots game, just knowing what we know, you feel like, just again, don't make mistakes. Be the more well coached football team. Have a good plan. And do your job, and you can win that ball game. Yeah. That this ain't one of those weeks.
Someone text in. Let's also remember they were aided with turnovers to be able to score some of that 41. It's true. They did have 4 turnovers, but still they put points on the board and got in the end zone. So.
Let's also remember that they threw an interception in the end zone and they missed a field goal. So there's a 10-point swing right there, or at least a 6-point swing. So. I don't think that we have a problem remembering what we watched last week.
All right, coming up, Tyler's turd list. You don't want to miss that, one of our favorite segments.
Sorry if you're
week.
Eating.
Oh Lord! All right, I got a feeling. Yep, I had a feeling. Felt like Jerry may find his way on this turd list. I'd be surprised. I would discontinue the turd list if Jerry Jones didn't find his way on it this week. All right, turd list coming up next as we continue live here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Willowbrook Plaza.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here. Coming up here as soon as this segment ends, we will be hooking somebody else up with, you know, we're going to hook somebody up with some U of H tickets coming up at the end of this segment. So if you have not filled your name and put it in the raffle box, all you got to do is write your name down, put it in that raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win. 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Colts-Texans game. We've got that here for you. There you go, in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, before we get to Tyler's turd list, the injury report just came out, fresh out, and let's go through the DNPs, the did not practice, and just a little hint, they also didn't practice yesterday, so that would be the two heavy days. Azeez Alshire did not practice with that knee for the second straight day. Foley Fadakasi with the shoulder did not practice for the second straight day. Kamari Laster, not a surprise. It's been reported he's going to miss the next few weeks. He is out with that shoulder, did not practice. And Henry Toa with the concussion did not practice. So that's your two inside linebackers did not practice the last two straight days. Jimmy Ward, who has already been reported, will miss this game against the Packers with a groin. He didn't practice. And Robert Woods, who missed last week's game, did not practice for a second straight day with that foot. Joe Mixon, Delshon Phillips, and Laremy Tunsil were limited. Or I'm sorry, Laremy Tunsil was full today. The other two, Mixon and Phillips, were limited in practice today. But there's some big names. Kamari Laster and Jimmy Ward we kind of knew about. But now Alshire, Toa, they are and Foley too in the inside. Those are three starters that on that defense that potentially may not be able to play this game, missing these 2 days of practice.
Yeah, and you mentioned Delshon Phillips. I mean, he was the guy that
he was coming in
before. Yeah. Before we realized that Henry Toa had lost some weight and could cover now, and was playing significantly faster, thanks to his father, by the way, for getting that ass and making sure that he was light and moving better this year. Big shout out to Pops right there, but. But Delshon Phillips is another linebacker. Henry Toa Phillips and Azeez Alshire with Christian Harris already on the shelf for nobody knows how much longer. I mean, that's four linebackers that could potentially not play this week. Now, Delshon Phillips is limited today. I'd imagine he's trending towards playing. But Azeez and Henry Toa, I would imagine at this point in time, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, right now. You missed the Wednesday-Thursday practice now. Last year, more times than not, players who missed both Wednesday, Thursday didn't play. But this year, it's happened a little bit more.
And, well, I'll tell you one on here that I typically don't lean this way. It typically bothers me, especially when you need to improve. Joe Mixon has been limited both Wednesday and Thursday with that ankle. And the two things. One, we've seen Joe Mixon miss almost all of camp and then come out and go for a buck 60, 59 or whatever it was against the Colts. We saw him miss significant amount of practice.
Three and a half weeks.
He comes back this week and goes off again. And so I don't worry about him practicing. But number two on Joe Mixon, like the way in which he plays the game, my man needs a day off. My man needs a couple limited practices. He leaves every bit of it on the field. He punishes defenders.
You're all right with him getting vet days?
I'm cool with him getting vet days. You earned every last one of them. You want a couple of limited days per week? Cool. Yeah, I'm good with it. Keep performing the way you're performing and keep bringing the physicality, the violence to the way in which you run the rock. You can do whatever the hell you want to do.
All right, so that is the latest there, the ones to really look at. Azeez Alshire and Henry Toa. Did not practice two straight days. Foley Fadakasi did not practice as well. And Kamari Laster and Jimmy Ward we kind of knew about as well. So those are the big names to pay attention to. All right, it's Thursday. It's 3:45. Let's hear it. Let's get to Tyler Sturdless.
Pro athletes are sometimes a lot to handle.
Which is not good enough.
Maybe even a bit dramatic.
Altuve stole an MVP from Judge.
Turdish behavior will not be ignored. No one is safe.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
It's Tyler's Turds of the Week on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right.
All right, baby. Let's do it, baby. Let's do it. I'm excited.
Full podium once again on Tyler's Turds of the Week. Of course it is. We got a gold medal, a silver medal, a bronze medal. No time to waste. Bronze medal for the Turds of the Week around the professional sports world. Man, I got to give it to this damn Thursday night football game coming up tonight. Which, by the way, Drive family, all you beautiful Sports Radio 610 listeners, you can hear right on these airwaves, courtesy of Westwood One, starting at 7 o'clock. But Broncos at Saints. Ugh. Ugh. Like that, like, this is how we're going to start week 7, man. Some of these primetime games are just, I mean, this one is a turd sandwich.
It's a rough one.
The 3-3 Broncos at the 2-4 Saints. Of course, a couple of rookie quarterbacks, Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler, they're going to be playing each other tonight. And the over-under in this game, if you're like me, if you're a degenerate like me, you like gambling on sports, and this is typically when my NFL betting each week gets rolling, I'm struggling to find stuff to bet on this game, guys. And the over-under in this game is a whopping 37 points. Good God. This is supposed to be the age of the NFL of high-powered offenses. A lot of throwing it around. Quarterbacks just slinging it everywhere. Over under 37 is disgusting. Are y'all going to watch this game tonight on Thursday night?
I'm having a hard time. I know Clint will. But listen, Sean Payton returning to New Orleans, maybe the beginning is the only part. But for me, boy, it's tough. I mean, what's my man? Kamara, he's out there by himself. I mean, Every other skilled player is gone. No, Chris Olave. They lost their other deep threat for the year with a knee.
Shaheed.
Shaheed. He's out. I mean, Spencer, boy. I mean, I don't know what happened to him when he was the number one pick about 2 years ago. So, yeah, this is a rough one. And then the way that the Broncos throw it, Tyler, Nix, he will throw it 34 times for 112 yards. And it is a rough, rough watch. So this one gets two woofs.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Some of these primetime games around the NFL, I mean, we've been seeing it off and on the last few years, but this year it feels like they're just coming left and right. Thursday night football, Saints and Broncos. And, of course, Spencer Rattler, just in case you missed that, he is starting because Carr's dealing with an oblique, right, gentlemen? I believe it's the same kind of issue Ewers for the Longhorns had been dealing with.
Yep, yeah. He's struggling.
I like the Broncos tonight, and the storyline's the game, right? I mean, the Drew Brees going in. I think the Saints Hall of Fame or the Ring of Honor. What do they call it?
Whatever they call it. Yeah, I don't know.
Sean Payton come back to town. I mean, the storylines are going to steal the show from jump.
Yeah. So we got
game,
a
sure as hell ain't.
No, it ain't, because we have a turd sandwich tonight on Thursday Night Football. So that's a bronze medal. Silver medal this week. Came across this earlier in the week. Had to bring it to the turd list. Had to bring it to the Drive family. And, of course, you two dingoes over there at Buffalo Wild Wings. First of all, I'm going to preface this by saying I freaking hate hurricane season, like most Houstonians, like most people in the Gulf. And prayers up, man, for all those still dealing with the impacts and the effects, the lingering impacts of Hurricane Milton that made landfall over there in Florida. I know our neighbors over there to the east are still dealing with a lot from Hurricane Milton. But I just want you to hear this report that I came across. It's a fella, don't have his name, going to be real honest with you. Don't have his name, but he is a reporter on the Weather Channel. And this was shortly thereafter Milton had made some noise over there in the east. Listen to this Weather Channel reporter just throwing unnecessary shots at some football fans.
Mike, we definitely enjoyed the little halftime show that Mother Nature gave us inside Milton, but now we got the second half, and, you know, I got to remind everyone, you might still be in the eye right now. There's a lot more to go. I think back to, you know, the Atlanta Falcons first half Super Bowl winner. We know what happened to the second half when the Patriots came back to life. So do not sleep on the second half of Milton, and we're definitely concerned now with this sir.
What in the hell is
bro?
What in the hell?
What?
He really set that one up. He thought that one through.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee he had it written down. And I love it. Look, I love it when journalists and reporters and stuff, I get, you know, wanting to make an analogy, set an example, really paint that picture for those taken in your report. But if I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan, I'm like, good God, man, what did we do to deserve that?
I wonder if that second half that he talked about with Milton, is that when Tropicana Field got absolutely destroyed? Is that when Hurricane Brady came rolling through?
All joking aside, we've been dead in the middle of one of them, and the last thing I want is some reporter making jokes about
yeah, you,
the,
that one you got to keep. You got to keep a straight lace.
That's poor time. That's a bad decision right there.
That's about as bad as that young man who I told you about in Kansas City who teased where the next tornado was dropping.
Oh yeah, dude. What is wrong with people?
Yeah, so, we just got word the tornado dropped here. We'll tell you where it dropped coming up next.
Hell of a tease.
That'll make people tune in though, won't it?
Yeah, man, this reporter from the Weather Channel, he's getting the silver medal because not only if I'm a Falcons fan, you know, and if you've been living in a cave under a rock somewhere, everyone remembers the Falcons up big on the Patriots in that Super Bowl only to just piss it away and Tom Brady the GOAT winning yet another ring. But not only if I'm a Falcons fan am I pissed at this weather guy, but I mean, yeah, like the people, like you were kind of saying, Clint, actually affected by Milton over there in Florida and stuff. I'm like, man, come on. I don't need the sports imagery. Like, I need to know if I'm going to be all right.
Yeah, poor timing right there,
yeah.
Chief.
Yeah.
That
silver medal.
The way he thought.
Mm-hmm. All right. Gold Turd Trophy, if you're watching with us on YouTube and Twitch. And if you're not, you can search that. Just search Sports Radio 610 on YouTube or Twitch. You can see our beautiful faces while we talk with you. Got the Golden Turd Trophy here. You nailed it, Ron. There's only one person this Golden Turd Trophy this week was ever going to go to, and it's this guy right here.
This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
Jerry Jones, you turn.
Yeah, Jerry doubled and tripled down on it later.
Yeah.
He came right on in it and said, you know, I can take the criticism from people, but I'm not going to take it from the flagship, the people I pay. Hold on, Judge.
And that audio, if you missed it out there, listeners, that audio you just heard, that was Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones, Clint Sterner's former boss. That was earlier this week on our sister station, the Cowboys flagship up in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan. He was doing his weekly interview with the guys over there at The Fan, and then this fella just starts threatening jobs. He starts threatening my fellow radio folks, and that's going to do nothing but earn you a Golden Turd Trophy, Jerry. You're getting older. I know your 82nd birthday sucked with the Cowboys getting blown out, but when your team gets blown out and you're the owner, not only the owner but the GM, you're going to have some tough questions to answer. You've been in this game long enough. You know how it goes. Don't exhibit turdish behavior just because you're pissed off that the Cowboys suck yet again. Am I right or am I right?
Yeah, you're right. Jerry's just dead ass wrong. And he needs to go ahead and make that right.
Jerry's dead ass serious though.
No, he's dead ass serious.
I'm not kidding.
He's kidding, and then like I listened to him the next day, fellas. I know we gotta get out. I listened to our sister station, Sean and RJ. They said we kinda thought maybe he might call in today and make it right until we heard him last night talking about not from the guys that he paid.
Doubling down.
At that point, we knew, well, we probably ain't going to hear from Jerry today.
That's your turns of the week, boys.
What you got coming up?
All right, y'all think I'm nasty talking about what goes on in the bathroom. Wait till you hear what your hero, J.J. Watt, 9-9. Wait till you hear what that nasty sumbug done said he'd do. We'll have all that next right here on Sports Radio 610.